So, Proverbs chapter 24, please. And when you find your place, we'll read verses 11 through 14. 11 through 14. If you'll stand for the reading of God's word, I'll read if you'd follow along. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to the taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this passage of scripture. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to live our lives knowing and truly believing that you see and hear everything. Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? Lord, you see right through us. You see every thought. You perceive every thought that we think. You see every action that you do. You hear every word that we say. We pray that you'd help us to live our lives truly believing that, Lord, that every day we would clear out the garbage, the dirt from our hearts, and Lord, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit and act in such a way as a Christian should live. Speak to our hearts now, we pray. Be with those who are sick and needing extra comfort. Lord, we think of Brother Kelly down in the coast there. We pray that you would lift him up, give him strength, give Sister Cynthia and the children strength and grace. And Lord, we pray that you give the doctors wisdom as they treat him. Pray for my sister Olivia down in the States, Lord, as she comes up on a surgical date here coming up this week. We pray that you might give the doctors wisdom there and that they might be able to take all the cancer out or successfully treat it in other ways, if that be your will. We ask that you just lift up these and help them to sense your presence and give them the grace they need. In Jesus' name, amen. I think you may be seated. So we're picking up here in verse 12. We looked at verse 11 about not forbearing to help those that are delivered unto death. And we talked about, you know, things like abortion, for example. You can be in prayer for the state of Georgia. As far as I understand, Georgia right now is trying to pass some legislation that would ban abortion and at certain age levels, and it's I think it's something like around 6 weeks or something along that neighborhood. So it's pretty really quite early, and of course we'd love to see it banned altogether, but we're so happy to see some action being taken. So be in prayer for that. There's a lot of celebrities out there that are going on trying to squash it and raise public opinion against it. But it is murder. It is killing, and we need to take a strong stand against such things. So in verse 12, Solomon says, "If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not," and of course, you understand that Solomon here is—it's obvious that he's talking about situations that people did know about. You know, if it was something that you were truly unaware of, then there's no guilt there. But if you're in a situation and you're aware of it, there is, and you're complicit, then there's guilt. Think about during the Second World War and how you've got all these concentration camps and death camps for the Jewish peoples, and how people living around those death camps later tried to say, well, we didn't know what was going on over there. And really, in all reality, they did know. And they were later made, in many cases, to actually walk through the death chambers and see the conditions, to see what they were complicit in. So here we've got Solomon saying, you can't trick God. If you say, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? So here we see that we can't fool God, not in any way. You know how it is with children so often, they think they can fool mom and dad, and pick on Emily right now, being Mother's Day and all. You know, when she was like 2 or 3 and she's been told not to, to take a cookie out of the cookie jar, and her dad comes in there just after she had stuck the whole cookie in her mouth, and Emily, did you take a cookie? You know, did she fool her dad? No, she did not. She thought she did temporarily, but no, she did not fool him. And same thing, sometimes we think that we can fool God. We can't. There's nothing that we can do that can fool him. Don't you like that part there? It says, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? He that keepeth thy soul. Yes, this is in the context of recognizing that God sees everything, and that he cannot be fooled. But there's also comfort in there. He that keepeth thy soul. To know that for the believer, God keeps our soul. It's tucked away safe and sound. And even when he allows difficult times to come into our lives, you know, it seems like within those that are dear to us, recently there's been a number of people that have gotten serious diseases. You know, think of some like Brother Carver, the trials that he's going through. But yet, at the end of the day, to still be able to say, he's keeping my soul. To know that this didn't escape God. God knew that this was going to happen right from the very get-go, right before he was even born. Same for my sister. That he would know, he knew that these things were going to happen. That he allows trials, tribulations, and even sometimes death. And in our eyes, sometimes even premature death. You know, some of you knew Brother Hawkins there that passed away recently. And while it was sad, it was something that was, he was dear to a number of people. At the same time, we can look at that and say, well, the Lord used him. He ran his race. He finished his race. And we, while sad, we can still look at him and say, well, and the Lord gave him a long life. The Lord gave him many opportunities. The Lord used him mightily. Then you look at someone that's younger and you say, but are they really done? Doesn't the Lord have more for them? That's where we recognize that God keepeth our soul. It's in his hands. He chooses. He has purposes. And his purposes and wills are much greater than our own. We cannot try to second guess God and say, but that person, they've got so much potential. They could be used for this, used for that. We have no idea what God's going to do with that person. He that keepeth thy soul. A great little nugget tucked in there. So doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Let's take a look at some verses. Let's take a look back in 1 Samuel chapter 16, familiar passage here. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We've got Samuel going to Bethlehem. And I find it interesting here. He was such a man of God that when he came to Bethlehem, We read in verse 4, the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" They wanted to know, is everything okay? Do we have big problems? And he said, "Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh at on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it?" The Lord doesn't look on how tall you and I are, how short you and I are. He doesn't look at the color of our skin. He does not look at whether we have real signs of outward beauty. He looks at the heart. And that's where we should start. That's where we need to start as we try to beautify ourselves, as we start at the heart level. Because that's where God looks. Okay, now let's go forward into the book of Psalms, please. Psalms chapter 44. I was looking for a verse in Job, and I just read it at the men's prayer breakfast a couple weeks ago, and can't find it now. But it was in Job, and Job said, "Doth not he that created the ear hear?" And I thought that was interesting. "And he that created the eye, can he not see?" And it's so true. God... Here sometimes we think that we can pull one over him. And he created the eye. He created the ear. And we are created in his image, but it's just an image. We're not God. And he is so much more advanced, like infinitely more advanced than we are. And to think that we can pull one over God. Okay, so Psalms chapter 44, verse 20 and 21. "If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." He knows everything. And here you've got, you know, in a time when they served idols. And of course, in certain countries, people do have man-made idols, wood and stone. Even in our own country, there are people that serve such idols. Then you think of idols that we serve. You know, cars, homes, speedboats, whatever it might be, one's idol. It's interesting that the very last verse of 1 John chapter 5 is, "My children, keep yourself from idols." I'm paraphrasing it, but he says, "Keep yourself from idols." And that applies to us. It's all about what we lift up above God. So here David says, "If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God," stretched out our hands in worship to a strange God, "shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." He knows everything in here. That's why we have no right to use this space, even as private as it might be from others in the human realm, to use that space to think on evil. And of course, when we think on evil, and if we don't confess it and forsake it, it will then manifest itself in our actions. It cannot stay long just a thought. The thought is kind of like the embryo. Okay, jumping ahead into Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his goings. Do we believe that? I sure hope so. We need to. And we need to live such a way that we believe it. Okay, going closer to our own text, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. So we want to make sure that our ways are ways that are directed by the Lord, not right in our own eyes. It is so easy to justify our own actions, justify our own thoughts. But be reminded that God pondereth the hearts. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 8. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 8. If thou seest the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting of judgment, and the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. So speaking of God, he is higher than they are, and they will not get away with it. Okay, and then Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. We'll read verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So we see that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's so easy for us to deceive ourselves, isn't it? We don't like to feel guilty. And so we want to assuage our guilt. We want to be able to rationalize why we did something that we did. And instead, we need to acknowledge it as sin and turn from it. And there's no need for guilt. Again, Satan's goal is to make us feel bad about something, about sin. And in some cases, he tries to make us feel bad about good things that we do. But God, through his Holy Spirit, he wants us to feel repentant. Not just to have that worldly sorrow, but a godly sorrow that worketh to repentance. Okay. And then let's jump ahead into the New Testament. Notice verse here, before we leave this one, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So there we see the recompense. And we see that also in verse 12 of our text, halfway down. And he that keepeth the soul, doth not he know it, and shall not he render to every man according to his works? So, in the day of judgment, the unbeliever at the great white throne judgment will be judged on whether they trusted Christ as their Savior. And there are multiple passages that also would indicate that they're going to be judged according to their sin. Not just a matter of, did you trust Christ? Oh, you didn't? Okay, off you go. You're going to hell. But rather also judged according to their sin. And that they will pay more for their sin. God is a just God. and it's just like sending someone off to jail in our judicial system here. You've got all sorts of different jails. You have your minimum security, you've got your maximum securities, you've got your second, halfway houses that prisoners would go to after they've done their term and they're still on parole. And there's different lengths of imprisonment. There are those that have to go into solitary confinement based on their crimes and also some of the risk to their own life in the prison system. And so God has, he also punishes according to our deeds. And I do believe that those who have committed grievous crimes will be punished even more so than those that have not. In the same token, the believer will be rewarded according to our deeds. We'll be judged according to our deeds. So the believer has eternal life. That cannot be taken from him or her. But they'll be rewarded according to their deeds. So we read from Jeremiah 17:10 and also from Proverbs 24:12 that he will render us according to our deeds. So now we jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that familiar passage. In verse 12, we read, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." A couple days ago, we were had a bout of fires in Kamloops. I believe they're unrelated. Some are quite a distance from each other. One was out near Lafarge and on the Shuswap Road. One was in the Ord Road Trailer Park. And there was one down on Battle Street, and they all kind of came in within half an hour of each other, half hour, 45 minutes. And so the fire crews were going this way and that. I wasn't working that day. We started seeing smoke and some dialed up the scanner and heard chatter, and there was all these various fires going on. And in some cases, firefighters will arrive on scene and a residence is fully engulfed and it's beyond hope. And they start pouring their attention on the houses next to that house, or on the, if the grass is catching fire and it might be turned into a grass fire, they start trying to prevent any further. They try to contain that fire. And so as we look at this passage here, in the day of judgment, there are things, actions of our own, actions or inactions, that will really burn down our spiritual house. That's why we don't use wood, hay, and stubble to build that house, because it will get burnt down. Whereas if we use gold, silver, precious stones, it's only purified when the fire comes over it. And so, yes, the Lord will render us according to our works. Again, he sees everything we do. When we're at home and nobody else is there with us, he sees what we're doing. He sees what we're thinking. And he will judge us according to those actions. Okay, well, we'll end with that thought, and then we'll pick it up next week looking at eating honey and comparing it to the knowledge of wisdom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you keep our soul. You are like a banker in a sense, and your bank cannot be burnt. It's fireproof. Lord, you have the life of the believer in your hand. And Lord, we know that we can trust you. You never forsake us, as your word tells us in Hebrews. You never slumber nor sleep. Nothing gets by you, Lord. And Lord, if something comes into our life that is painful, that's difficult, we know that you allowed it. And Lord, we know that you will give us the strength to go through it. Lord, help us as we think about the matter of you pondering our hearts. Lord, there's nothing that we can do. There's no artifice. There's no smokescreen that we can put up that will stop you from seeing through to our very deepest thoughts. So Lord, help us to guard our thoughts. Help us to be so careful with our actions that in every way we would please you. And Lord, on that day of judgment, that we would hear those coveted words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." Dear Father, we come before you and we just pray that you would help us to have a really good day as we worship you in this house, and as we move into our morning worship service. Lord, we pray that you be with those that are still traveling. We ask that you give them safety. Be with those again. We pray for those that are sick or those that are having medical problems. Lord, we ask for your healing touch on them. And more importantly than anything, Lord, that you'd be glorified and that those individuals would sense your presence and be comforted and have a great deal of grace. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.